So we've been talking about what? Prospering our soul. Remember we talked about just that we're a three-part being, and just a little bit of review on that. One thing I shared, and I want to just kind of reiterate this. The word that Brother Savelle came with one Wednesday ago. Open new doors with supernatural increase beyond what you have experienced before. So it's, listen, new doors. You may have had doors open to you in the past, and you may have walked through them and they were good, but these are going to be new doors with supernatural increase, not increase of your own might, right? Supernatural increase. And some of you may have walked through doors and you've seen, how many have experienced supernatural increase in your life in some way, shape, or form? Whether it be finances, health, relationships, some way, something happened that you couldn't make happen on your own. It was supernatural. Well, guess what? It's going to be increased more than you've experienced before. Amen. I'm taking that word. I'm standing on it. I'm believing for it. And I hope you all do too. But what I was really interested in what he said was his definition of blessed. And I shared this. This is kind of just review to get us back to where we're going here. But his definition of blessed was empowered to prosper. Y'all remember me sharing that last week? Empowered to prosper. And I looked up that word empowered. And this is what I found out. We are empowered by God to prosper is what he was saying. How? Well, if you look up that definition of empowered in the old Noah Webster's dictionary, it's authorized or having legal or moral right. We are authorized by God to prosper in every area of our life. You should not be ashamed for prospering in your life. You don't have to justify your prosperity. Because God has authorized you to prosper in every area of your life. Your health, your emotions, your mind, your body, relationships. He's authorized you. And then I looked it up in the new dictionary. And it said, having the knowledge, confidence, means, or ability to do things or make decisions for oneself. We can make decisions that prosper us. We can make decisions that prosper us. And then I came up with Todd's definition, and I put it this way. God has authorized us to gain knowledge, get confidence, seek the means or resources that give us the ability to make decisions in our life that will prosper us in a legal and moral way. In a legal and moral way. He's empowered us with everything we have need of to prosper us in every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body. Do y'all believe that? Yes. Empowered us. It means he's empowered us. What does that mean? He's not going to do it for you. He is giving you everything you have need of to apply his word. Remember I shared, he's not a genie in a bottle. You can't just say, hey, give me this. But he has given you direction through his word. And if you apply it legally and morally, you can have everything that this book says. Amen? You have to properly apply his word in a legal and moral way. Let me give you an example of that. It's this shirt. I'm sorry because I got this mic pinned to my neck. I can't look down. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? Do y'all remember that? How they were going in and they say, they were trying to cast out demons and they say, I adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preaches. What were they? They didn't have faith in Jesus in and of themselves. They were relying on somebody named Paul. And what happened? They got ripped to shreds, man. They got tore up. Because they weren't applying it in a legal way. Because they weren't applying the faith in and of themselves in the name of Jesus. Amen? You have to apply it in a legal and moral way. And some of you say, "Man, I don't know how to do that. How do I do that?" What are we talking about again? Again, we're getting back to it, but prospering in our soul. What is our soul? Mind, will, emotions. All right, that's just an easy way to remember. Mind, will, and emotions. How do we do this? How do we grasp hold of this? How do we understand this? I believe the Lord wants to show you some things today that are going to help you out in your everyday life. That is why He sent the Holy Spirit. This is why He has sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is how we gain knowledge, get thinking about this definition, gain knowledge, get confidence, seek resources that gives us the ability to prosper. The Holy Spirit empowers us to prosper in our soul. Not Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz or any of those doctors that you may. Now look, the Holy Spirit empowers us, right? He doesn't do it for us. He empowers us. I believe He can empower us and lead us to information that may or may not come from the Christian community to prosper us. Okay? I'm not kicking Dr. Phil and Oz and all those guys to the curb. I'm just saying you have to be led by the Holy Spirit, and then you have to filter it through what the Word of God says. It has to line up with what the Word says. It can't just be off willy-nilly land, you know, making no sense of nothing. It has to line up with what the Word says. Amen? Turn to John chapter 14. Because you can get all kinds of advice today. You can, I mean, advice is so prevalent. I mean, just with the advance of the internet, you can Google or search for anything in the world that you want, and stuff's going to pop up. I mean, you could put in the weirdest thing, and you'll have a list of stuff pop up. Information is everywhere. Information is everywhere. Advice is everywhere. But you have to filter it through the Word of God. I'm not going to go there. Turn to John 14. The Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit empowering us to prosper in our soul. We're focusing on our soul today. John 14, verse 21. I'll be reading out of the Amplified. Probably down to 26, I believe. It says, "The person who has my commands," this is Jesus, "has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, I will reveal or manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself, make yourself real to us and not the world?" And Jesus answered, "If a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home, our abode, our special dwelling place with him. Anyone who does not really love me does not observe and obey my teaching, and the teaching which you hear and heed is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you these things while I'm still with you." But, I love that word. "But the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, the Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things and will cause you to recall. He will remind you or bring to your remembrance everything I have told you." The Holy Spirit empowers us to prosper in our soulish realm. Now, to be reminded of something, you have to have heard it first, right? Well, Jesus taught them and was saying that the Holy Spirit would remind them, the apostles, right? I mean, of everything that he had said, but he was there with them, physically, in the flesh, teaching them, talking to them. And he said the Holy Spirit would remind them of everything that he had said. But guess what? They wrote it down for us. They wrote it down for us. And so we've got to put it in so that the Holy Spirit can draw it out in our time of need. He is our ever-present help in our time of need. Well, if you have a time of need, and if he's going to remind you of something to get you through your time of need, you have had to put it in you to be reminded of it. Does that make sense? This ain't rocket science. I don't know if you believe me. I keep telling you, the gospel's a simple message. It's a simple message. It's man that tries to overcomplicate it. And that's how religion has come about. Is man has tried to overcomplicate their relationship with the supreme being, creator of the whole universe. And they implement all these little do's and don'ts and times and all this stuff. But then Jesus comes and just, man, sets everything on its ear. And makes it so simple. So simple. You put it in. You rely on the Holy Spirit to draw it out when you need it. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 11. Out of the Amplified reads, "And when they bring you before the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, do not be anxious beforehand how you shall reply in defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit," who?
"The Holy Spirit
will teach you in that very hour and moment what you ought to say." Now listen, you don't have to be involved in a legal matter to rely on the Holy Spirit to give you words of wisdom. He is your ever-present help in your time of need. When you don't know what you ought to say, lean in, rely on your advocate, your helper, your comforter. He will give you the words. When you don't know how you ought to pray, pray in the Holy Spirit. And it's the perfect prayer that goes before the throne room of God. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us wisdom, leads us, and guides us, and teaches us. Leads us to all wisdom. And I like my definition of wisdom. I got a lot of definitions today. The ability to apply knowledge to gain understanding. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to gain understanding. Again, knowledge is, you can have all kinds of knowledge. The internet's full of knowledge. You can search on anything and get any answer you want. You can study and be a student all your life and gain all kinds of knowledge. But if you never apply that knowledge, what good is it? You can have read this book from cover to cover your entire life, 50, 60, 100, 200 times over. You can even, there are people that have scripture memorized and can regurgitate it. You throw out a verse, man, they'll pop it out. And that's all knowledge, but is it being applied? Is that knowledge being applied in their life? The ability to apply knowledge to gain understanding. Applied knowledge gains you understanding, and that's wise, that's wisdom. But where do you get the knowledge from? Well, we just said it. Right here. They wrote it down for us. They made it easy, plain, Simple. All right, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm endeavoring to utilize Scripture to help you prosper your soul today. Help you prosper in your mind, prosper in your will, prosper in your emotions. How many people, don't raise your hand, suffer from emotional oppression? It can take the form of depression, which is probably the hardest kind of oppression in your mind. Your will suffers and doesn't prosper? How many your body has suffered and you've not prospered in your body? These are all elements of your soul. And so we're endeavoring to address that. What can we do? What can we do to prosper in our soul? 1 Peter chapter 1, and this is another scripture that we touched on last time. 1 Peter, well, I'm in 2nd. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. That's not it. Is it 2 Peter? Anybody got their notes from last week? 2 Peter 1:22. No, but one, they don't even have a 22 in 2 Peter 1. All right, this is a scripture that I wanted to quote. We purify our soul by obeying the truth. And that's where I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, lead. It is 22. Since by your obedience to the truth through the whole, thank you. Since by your obedience to the truth through the Holy Spirit, you have purified your hearts for the sincere affection of the brethren. See that you love one another fervently from a pure heart. The King James reads, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love for the brethren. See, we purify our soul by obeying the truth. That is the Word. That is Jesus. Through what? The Spirit, i.e. the Holy Spirit. We purify our souls through the help of the Holy Spirit. So applying the truth with the help of the Holy Spirit is wisdom, because we're applying that knowledge of truth. And it purifies or sanctifies our souls. So what are ways we can purify our soul? What are ways we can purify our mind, our will, and emotions? What are ways, and why? Why do we need to do that? Why do we need to do that? Because there's a time in your life that you will be tempted. Listen, Satan tempted Eve in the garden. His weapons have not changed. He uses the same weapons he's used since the beginning of creation. And he tempted Eve. You'll be tempted. You'll be tempted in your life because we live in this earth. But no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. And the word promises, even though we're tempted, it'll not be beyond what we can handle. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13 out of the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 10:13. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that it is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. But God is faithful. He is faithful to His word and to His compassionate nature, and He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, He will always, how often? Always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. When we put the word in, we are capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. So when temptation comes, you will have had to put the word in prior to, and the Holy Spirit will draw it out to get you through the temptation with patience. Does that make sense? That is why we need to prosper in our souls, so we can understand that the weapons of our warfare are mighty. They're mighty for pulling down strongholds. How many know there are strongholds that we create in our minds? That we create in our minds. Well, it says that the weapons of our warfare are mighty for pulling down those strongholds. They're not natural physical weapons. They're supernatural, spiritual weapons that we use and apply to pull down those strongholds that have been created in our mind. Strongholds of the mind and in our will that wreak havoc with our emotions. We got any strong-willed people in here today? Now see, that has come to have a negative context almost in our culture today, hasn't it? I mean, even we use it on our children in a negative way. Oh, they're just a strong-willed child. Well, it's good to have a strong will built up in the Word. Now, I'm not talking about rebellious, strong-willed. I'm talking submissive to the word, strong-willed. Amen? Capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. What does Proverbs say? The strong spirit of a man will sustain him or her in times of trouble, in bodily pain. When you put the word in, you are built up. When trouble comes, when temptation comes, you have it in. The Holy Spirit, if you're born again, you have relationship with, draws that word out of you. You apply that knowledge. You gain understanding in that area. And you're victorious. Amen? That's good, y'all. So let's look back at John 14 again, this time verse 27. We were there, John 14, 21 through 26, but verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you." This is Jesus talking again. "My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." I love how the Amplified breaks this out. Somebody needs to take this for themselves today. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Anybody dealing with any of those things in their life? Well, let me read it again for you. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this is what the Word says. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Stop allowing it. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk through these things with patience. He has empowered you. So in light of that, consider Judas's question again. Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself, make yourself real to us and not to the world? He reveals himself through the person of the Holy Spirit, whom is the same that purifies or sanctifies our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions with the truth. He is the same that is our peace in our times of trouble. Peace in times. Remember in the boat? I mean, the disciples were fearful that they were going to die. The great storm had come up, and they, Lord, you don't even care. We're going to drown and die. Was he concerned? Was he worried? Was he agitated? Was he anxious? Is he our example?
Yes.
So when the storm is raging around you, what is your constitution? That's a terrible word. What are you made of in that moment? Are you at peace? Or are you fearful and agitated and worried? Is there news of layoffs coming at your work? Do you immediately get fearful of that? Worried? Concerned because you have obligations to meet? House payments, car payments, kids in college, whatever the situation may be? Or are you at peace? Are you raising children and you got more month than money, and you don't know how you even, you know, college, how are you going to pay for that 18 years from now when you got to get through this week first? Are you worried? Are you agitated? Are you anxious about that? Does any of that anxiety add one cubit to your measure? Who is our standard? Jesus. And he was asleep in the back of the boat. And what did he do? He got up. And what did he say to him? Oh, ye of little faith. And then what did he do? Peace. Be still. I believe that we can do the same thing in our life. We can say to those storms, peace. Be still. Now, does that mean that the storm is going to stop? Maybe. But I like to think of it as the storm inside of me is going to stop. And I'll have peace within myself no matter what's going on around me. And that is your soul prospering. Amen? You see, we as believers have a secret weapon. And that secret weapon is the Holy Spirit. That secret weapon is our advocate, our standby, our ever-present help in time of need, our intercessor, our comforter. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10.
And this is what I quoted just a minute ago, but let me start in verse 3. Second Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk, we live in the flesh." The flesh, our body, right? It's what we live in, right? We're a three-part being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. It says, "For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds." You want to prosper in your mind? Read verse 5. "Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought," how many? "Every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Every thought captive. Every thought that doesn't line up with the Word of God, you cast it down. Cast it down. If it's not lining up with the Word, you cast it down. But how do you know? The Holy Spirit will remind you. How can He remind you if you haven't put it in? How many are relying on the faith of their parents? Or the faith of their grandparents? Or the faith of the pastor? Or the faith of their spouse? And not relying on their own faith? On what they've put in. So while we give much honor to Father God, and we give much honor to His Son Jesus, and rightfully so, it is the person of the Holy Spirit that is our very present help in our time of need. And it's Him that we have to lean on. Listen, when God created the earth and all that is in it and the universe and flung the stars out in the sky and named them all and set the waters apart from the land and created all the beasts of the earth and then created man in His image. What did He do after all of that on the seventh day? He rested. And then when Jesus came into the earth through a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and He walked this earth for 30 plus years and gathered His disciples and apostles to Him and taught them and showed them things to come and went to the cross. He died and was buried and then rose again on the third day. What did He say when He was on the cross with His last breaths? "It is finished." And then where did He go after He rose? At the right hand of the Father and sat. So God the Father rested on the seventh day. His Son Jesus said, "It is finished. My work here is done." And then what did He do? He said, "I will send you another, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, your Advocate, your Standby, your Intercessor." It is the Holy Spirit that is our very present help in our time of need. And guess what? If you're born again, He dwells, He lives on the inside of you. You don't even have to go very far to find Him. He's right there. and He will lead and guide you. And if you put this word in, He will prompt you. He will make you recall it when you need it for whatever situation you're going through, whatever storm is raging around you. There is a word that you can speak to it that will bring peace to it. Bring peace to your soul. Bring peace to your mind. It'll calm your will down. It'll bring stability to your emotions. Amen. So, prospering in our soul, it doesn't affect our eternal destination. It affects our life here in this earth. I mean, who wants, I'm glad, and I hope you're glad that you know where you're going. And that it's going to be wonderful. I believe that. Beyond any, I don't even think we can imagine what it's going to be like. I don't even think we can have even an inkling of what it's going to be like. But knowing that, who wants to be miserable now? I don't. Do you? Or do you enjoy being miserable? Come on, you enjoy it, don't you? You enjoy walking around, frowning all the time, kicking dogs, making people upset with you. You enjoy it. Huh? You enjoy telling bad jokes. Nobody laughs at like mine. What does that have to do with anything? Kicking the cat. Oh, pudding. You better not talk about pudding like that. We don't want to be miserable. We don't want to. But we need to do the things necessary to help us so the Holy Spirit can help us. He wants to be our helper. He wants to be our comforter. He wants to be our advocate and our standby. But we have to let Him. We have to laugh sometimes, because it's good medicine. You want your soul to prosper, you better learn how to laugh. You walk around like this all your life. Some of y'all, if you heard yourself laugh, you'd be shocked. Like, what was that? See, every now and then I come up with one song. It's usually when I'm not trying. See, when I try. Now, Reggie, now see, he practiced his joke for 2 weeks before he came in here and told that joke. 3 weeks. My dad, I'm telling you, he, and the same with Pastor Rob, they're cut from the same cloth when it comes to this, about joke telling. And it's always a new joke. It's one I hadn't heard. And I don't know how I've gone on for all this time with both of them and hear new jokes from them all the time. But and maybe they have revelation of this, maybe they don't. But by laughing, by telling those jokes and laugh, sometimes we just got to laugh at ourselves too. That's like good medicine working. My dad's 78, getting ready to have a triple bypass. And they said, normally we wouldn't do that at your age, but your heart is so strong, we feel confident and you're good. I believe part of that strong heart has come from his laughter throughout the years. Because he laughs, and it ain't pretty when he laughs. I mean, he's one of those that throws the whole body into it. You know, he goes into a convulsion when he laughs. You want to say, just breathe, it's all right. I won't have to do CPR on you. So, anyways, that's what I wanted to encourage you today in, is how do we help our soul to prosper in this earth? How do we get our will and our mind and our emotions to line up with what the Word of God says? Well, one, we got to put it in, and two, we rely on the Holy Spirit to draw it out. to draw it out. And that's wisdom. When we apply that knowledge and gain understanding in that area, that's wisdom. Amen? Is anybody encouraged today? Well, glory to God. So whatever you have need of, whatever you have need of, if you need the storm in your mind to subside, to cease and desist, if you have struggled in your life with seeking and going after your will, always your will, it always has to be your way, if you have struggled with your emotions just wreaking havoc in your life, I mean, any little variance that happens and you just lose it. These are all things evident in your soul that are not prospering. And He's made a way for you to prosper in your soul. He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. I like that. Light in the darkness. So, I pray that the Holy Spirit seal these words to you today. That you meditate on them. That you repeat them to yourself. That you have an accountability partner that you talk to these things about. But most of all, I hope that you will pick up this book and read it. And not just read it, but devour it, consume it, let it become a part of you. And if you do, it will be there when you need it. And the Holy Spirit will draw it out of you. And don't get overwhelmed with the size of this book. Remember, I did this a while back. If you just do what I believe the Holy Spirit instructed me to encourage you in, and read the epistles of Paul, I'm talking really slow so I can flip through this. If you will just commit to that, reading the epistles of Paul, and we'll throw Hebrews in there for good measure. I'm not going to get into some theological debate of whether he wrote it or not. But if you will just do that, all right, I'm going to get close. Look how thin that is. Look how few pages it becomes. That's not a lot. Come on, y'all have read more worldly newspapers in the last few years than that right there. That's not an unsurmountable task, is it? So I encourage you today, read the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit bring those things to your remembrance when you need them. He is our ever-present help in our time of need. Amen? Isn't that good news? Isn't that something you can take home with you? Isn't that something that you can apply that'll help you in your life? Aren't you glad you came today? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word that has gone forth today. We thank you for your encouragement, Holy Spirit. We know that you are our advocate. You are our helper. You are our intercessor. You are our standby. You are our ever-present help in our time of need. And we will lean on and rely on you, the person of the Holy Spirit who was sent by Jesus Christ himself to help us. So, Lord, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to be with us, to live inside of us, to lead and guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, help us apply that truth that we may prosper in the area of our soul. Because we know, and we read it last week, when we prosper in our soul, then our body becomes healthy. I wish above all that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.